Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time.
Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 16, Unity in the Body of Christ. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were some that would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love.
Good morning. Well, it's an honor to be asked to preach to you, so I thank you. And Allison and Nancy, your prayers and your music were wonderful introductions to what I'll be speaking about. I'll be talking to you about my passion for mission. A little bit of background: I worked in the steel industry in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania for over 25 years, so I'm a Pittsburgh Steeler fan. Go Mason Rudolph, go Watt James Washington. After working in the steel industry, I was the plant manager for Great Lakes Carbon in Port Arthur, Texas, and then Enid. In 2001, I graduated from Phillips Theological Seminary and was ordained in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. 5 years ago, I retired from Central Christian Church, but I'm still active in organizing and raising money for mission trips. I'm involved in stewardship and Bible studies. Well, going on overseas mission trips is very important. And when I say that, people say, we have so many problems here at home. Why do we waste our time and spend money for people to go on overseas mission trips? My answer is simple. It's based on the Bible and the facts of history. In the early church, there were many problems in Israel. Yet Jesus commanded his disciples to do mission work. He said, love your neighbors as yourself. Remember, people in other nations are your neighbor, and go and make disciples of all nations. So the Apostle Paul obeyed that command, and he traveled all around the Mediterranean basin making disciples. And he understood two things about missions. Going on missions is necessary to obey the commands of Jesus Christ, and going on missions needs the financial support of people back home. It's important to remember that because of the many mission trips by the early church grew dramatically. As a matter of fact, over a few hundred years, it went from 30 people to 3 million people. My personal experiences also tell why mission trips are important. I saw the face of Jesus on mission trips to Comandante in the Dominican Republic. I saw the face of Jesus in seeing being with people like this in these pictures. Mission trips change the life of its participants. They come back and they want to make a difference. Mission trips change local churches. Supporting mission trips help churches grow. And young people are attracted to churches that offer mission trip opportunities. I'd like to quote a few scriptures from Ephesians 4 that talk about mission work. Paul wrote, I encourage you to live as people worthy of the call you receive from God. We all have received calls from God. Young people want to know, what is my call? He went on to say, follow your calling with all humility, gentleness, and patience, and accept everybody in love, even if they look differently from you. He went on to say some people would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists. God's purpose with all those calls was to equip his people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ. Now, when we heard the term evangelist, in today's terms, missionary would be a more appropriate term. A missionary takes the love of Jesus to a hurting world, and it's as simple as that. Now, I organize mission trips to Boca Chica in the Dominican Republic. Boca Chica has beautiful beaches that attract tourists. Unfortunately, it attracts the wrong kind of tourists because of the drug and the prostitution business. It has a 25% unemployment rate because sugarcane processing plants have shut down. To help support their families, children actually drop out of school. 8 and 9-year-old children drop out of school to sell trinkets to tourists on beaches. And then they're Haitians. Because of the earthquakes in Haiti, many Haitians have come to Boca Chica. But Haitians suffer racial discrimination like African Americans did 50 years ago in the South. Because of racial discrimination, Haitians are not allowed to go to public school in Boca Chica unless they have passports or official documentation. So poverty and racial discrimination rob children in Boca Chica of the education they need to have good and honest jobs. This began to change in 1994. A Catholic nun started a mission in Comandante. She wanted to provide practical education for children and young adults, and her name was Sister Denise. She created homework rooms in local villages for grade school children. Children could go to school in the morning, eat lunch, and then go work the beaches in the afternoon. And then they had to report back to Sister Denise. And she had people bigger than Eric that would patrol the beaches to make sure that nobody was taking advantage of her children. Some children went to school in the morning and worked in the afternoon. Other children would work the beaches in the morning and come to school in the afternoon. And Eric did have a full-time job there patrolling those beaches. Well, this and other programs have kept children in school and out of trouble. And then Sister Denise realized that people need more than just an education. They need a job skill. So she created a vocational school. A variety of job skills were taught that led to good-paying jobs in the hospitality tourist business. She had teachers teach sewing, cooking, baking, computer technology, website design, electrical maintenance, cosmetology, and even bartending. Now, how cool is that a nun would have a class in bartending so people could get a job? We'll now see a brief video that shows you a little bit about the missions of Comandante, if you could cue up the video now. Amen. Two comments about that video. That one picture showed the type of people that go on mission trips. We had 16-year-olds, and we had women that were 83-year-olds go on mission trips, and it changed all of their lives. Are any of you public school teachers? You would love to teach in Boca Chica because the children pay attention. They are well-behaved. They are well-dressed. They come to school. You saw some of the teenagers with their uniforms. They go home and change those uniforms, and if they're dirty, their mother and their grandmother tells them the facts of life. The children realize that it's only through education that they can escape the poverty. Now, when I talk about missions, I don't talk about numbers. I like to tell stories. Franklin was 8 years old, and on Mondays, he would walk 10 miles to work the beaches of Boca Chica. He would sell candy and shine shoes of the tourists, and he did that to help support his mother, because his mother didn't have a job. He went to the back doors of restaurants to beg for food. He'd sleep in doorways at night because it was too far to go home at night. And on weekends, he would go home and give his meager earnings to his mother. He was always lonely, and one day he wrote a note. It said, "Is there anybody who loves me and can give me hope?" He put it under the door of the Catholic Church, and they gave it to Sister Denise. Soon, Franklin became a very good student in one of her homework rooms. She made sure he went to college. He became a teacher in a Comandante homework room. He married and raised a family. A few years ago, we went to a homework room to visit Franklin. But before we went, we were told, Franklin has 8 children. The youngest one is 1 year old. But his wife died after giving birth. Now Franklin is a single father of 8 children. Now the Comandante staff told Franklin, it's okay to leave here. Your family needs you to make more money. But Franklin said, Sister Denise found me and she helped me. Comandante gave me hope and an education. The kids here are just like me, working the streets and the beaches. They need an education, and they need me. They're more important things than money, so I'm staying here in Comandante, where I can make a difference. Well, then we visited Franklin in the homework room. We passed out dental supplies, and it was like Christmas for the children and for us. In all the excitement, Franklin went, and it was quiet. And then he said, Oklahoma makes a difference. I hope, and the children hope, you continue to support us, because without your support, we couldn't do the work of Jesus Christ. He then made that knocking noise again, and all the children said, Gracias. Adios, Oklahoma. We saw 35 children with new toothbrushes and hope. There wasn't a dry eye among us. And we looked at Franklin, we looked at Sister Denise, and we knew we had seen the face of Jesus. Well, several years later, at dinner, a young man sat down beside me, and he said, you probably don't recognize me, but 10 years ago, your group gave me a toothbrush, a tube of toothpaste, and more importantly, Comandante gave me hope. Because of Comandante, I completed my education. And he said, now I'm an electrician at the big cement plant on the island. Now, I've worked in factories for 35 years. Electricians are the most skilled and highest paid workers, and they have the utmost job security. And Caminante helped him become an electrician. And he said, I came here to shake your hand and say, thank you, Oklahoma. You gave me and my family a future. Now, these stories are not unique. Through education, Caminante has helped reduce longstanding prejudices directed at Haitian children and poor Dominican children. And hundreds of children have received good-paying jobs through homework rooms in the vocational school. And that education has kept them out of drug trafficking and prostitution. And because of the success, Sister Denise has a new name. She is called the Mother Teresa of the Caribbean. And I don't have time to talk about it, but she is well-respected, and the drug lords are scared to death of her. They don't mess with any of the mission work that she does. Now, we also see that mission trips change lives. Mission trips and their participants have the opportunities to identify their God-given gifts. They see where they can use those gifts to make a difference. And they see when they use the gifts God has given them, their lives change. Allison was one of our young mission participants. She was a shy 18-year-old. Allison came back from her first mission trip on fire to make a difference. And she said to her church, I'm going to raise $4,000 to help the children I saw at Caminante. She said, I'm going to organize a tipsy artist fundraiser in our church's fellowship hall. Do any of you know what a tipsy artist program is? Well, she was told, we don't think that's a good idea. Alice said, I want to talk to the elders. So in front of a dozen elders, this formerly shy 18-year-old said, the money I raise will make a difference in the lives of children served by Caminante. Jesus said to love your neighbor, and these children are my neighbors. And then she looked to those elders and pointed her finger and said, those children are your neighbors too. Allow me to raise this money, and together we'll make a difference. The elders approved. She raised $5,000. Her self-confidence blossomed. While Garrett was a recent OU graduate with a degree in English and Spanish, and he had had trouble finding a job, no comments about OSU versus OU graduates. And he said after that mission trip, I can make a difference as a teacher. He said, I'm going to become a teacher in a Hispanic high school in inner city Dallas. And he did. Later, he became a missionary in Africa. And then, now he's a teacher and a guidance counselor in a poor part of Indianapolis. He says that mission trip showed him how he could use his gift for languages and his gift for talking to teenagers to make a difference. Madison was another recent college graduate. She became friends with the lawyer who helped found Caminante 25 years ago. She also met a 19-year-old Haitian who volunteered at Caminante. His name was Jesus. He and his mother fled Haiti when he was 6 years old, and because he had no official identification, this 19-year-old could never go to public school. So he was going to a homework room, and he read at the sixth grade level as a 19-year-old. After we returned, Madison asked me, if we sent $200 to the lawyer that we met, we could get Jesus a passport. And that passport, that official identification, would allow him to go to school and get a good, honest job. You can guess what that $200 did. I told Madison, it's against the rules to send money to individuals. And she looked at me and she said, whose rules are those? What do they know? I can give this young man a future, because without this, you know where he'll wind up working. And then she said, aren't we supposed to love our neighbors with more than just words? Don, whose rules are you going to follow? Those people who made that stupid rule, or the rules that Jesus Christ has given us? Don, what are you going to do? Well, I called some donors to see if it was okay to send that money to buy that person a passport. And they said unanimously, by all means, go ahead. And may God bless that young lady who wasn't afraid to stand up and make a difference and change the life of a young man. I sent Madison $200 that we had raised, and I said, I don't know how to send that money to the Dominican Republic. And this 23-year-old girl looked at me and said, you are such a dinosaur, Don. Haven't you ever heard of Western Union? She said, I can send $200 via Western Union to the legal office where this lawyer works. By the way, send me another $30 to take care of expenses. 6 weeks later, Madison sent me a picture of Jesus with his mom and a passport. And his mom said, may God bless you. Nobody else did anything to help my son but talk. But you did something, and you gave my son a future. God bless you and Oklahoma. Incidentally, I can't tell that story publicly because we broke a few rules. But I talked to Steve Armbruster about that. He said, you can tell the story, just don't tell the people in Global Ministries. Well, when people return from mission trips, they tell about the vital work that Jesus Christ does, but they also realize that that work is done through the support of their local church, the Oklahoma Disciples Foundation that has given us grants to go to Commandante, Global Ministry, and our regional church in Oklahoma. And they tell about the differences that these organizations make. They tell about the differences they can make, and they become the future leaders of our country. They become the future leaders of our churches. Now, churches in college towns have a special opportunity to do what Paul said. They have a special opportunity to build up the body of Christ, because universally, young people want to make a difference. They want to discover what gifts they have, and they want to use those gifts to make a difference. And when young people see churches changing lives through mission trips, they're attracted to those churches, and churches grow. Well, to summarize my sermon about mission trips are the best investments we can make in the work of Jesus Christ. And we can do that in two ways. We can go on a mission trip, or we can financially support people going on mission trips. Those stories I told about Allison and Garrett and Madison, the only reason they were able to go on mission trips is they received partial scholarships, partial travel scholarships. They all repaid those scholarships as time went on. So what about you, First Christian Church in Stillwater? Do you want to make a difference? We hope and we pray that you support programs that on a regular basis send people on mission trips to Jamaica, to Commandante, to the border of Texaco and Mexico. When you do that, you'll make a difference, and young people will come to realize that they can do the work of Jesus Christ. God bless you, and thank you for this opportunity to talk about Commandante and missions.